you're about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Hey! Hey! Hey, I'm talking to you, bonehead!
Ooh, hi there, phantom stranger. Hot night, huh? You and your 14 scaly friends looking for some action? Looking for a little slack, maybe? Oh, well, if you don't know what slack is, I can't help you, Bubba. Go bark up some other bimbo. I can only raise the dead, not the doomed. Damn, God, I hate working the street corner. Oh, bad part of town. Lots of pinks in this neighborhood. But I'm not afraid because I'm Teflon with the knowledge that one day a real rain is going to wash all this normal scum off the streets. Oh, Bob, why not now? Oh, I'm that hard-working high priestess with the leastest, the hardest-looking woman in show business, the Reverend Susie the Floozy. And I'm working the beat here at WREK Atlanta and Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. Talk about a thankless job. I've walked these streets for so long, my spike heels have turned into flats. Oh, I've been howling and bumping and grinding in the radio wilderness for lo these many years, preaching the immoral words of our mighty founder, J.R. Bob Dobbs, to any sweaty stranger in the dark who would listen, telling you to repent, quit your job, and slack off. Oh, and still we have been unable to eradicate that incessant, undying evil that turns thinking subgeniuses into slack-starved zombie drones. Still, there is work. Oh, I can't do anything about it for you seekers who have to shuffle through the workaday hieroglyphic parade. But I'll see what I can do in the way of getting you a little Bob-cent workman's comp. So just shut off your minds in the good subgenius way of things, and just let the music wash that job right out of your brain.
I know you think about work. I know you think about school. I know you think thinking of you. Whoa!
Talking about.
Are you engaged in satisfying work? Poor fellow. He broke down. He overworked himself. What nonsense. No one ever broke down from overwork in this world, and no one ever will. You break down, ladies and gentlemen, from over-worry. You work 10 minutes only with hate or fear in your heart. Brother, you're overworked. And how? You work all day at something you love, without tension or tears. You'll go home pretty tired, but you won't break down.
Driving down the road at 7 a.m., smelling that coffee, tasting that ham. I'm singing, roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Picking up garbage is a dirty old job, dumping that trash like a darn old snob. I'm singing, roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Working all day, rain or shine, old garbage truck rolls down the line. I'm singing, roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Here comes the garbage man. Here comes the garbage man. Roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Yodelity, odelity, odelity. Earning money in a rich man's yard would pay my bills and buy my law. I'm singing, roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Pinto beans, 9 cents a pound. Lord, Lord, I'm poorhouse bound. I'm singing, roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. My baby needs a pair of shoes. I keep mourning, garbage man blues. Here comes the garbage man. Here comes the garbage man. Here comes the garbage man. Roll out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Dear lady, old lady.
Hey, don't throw your garbage down here. Oh, Jesus.
Down, working in a coal mine, down, working in a coal mine, up out of Smithtown.
stupid economic recovery.
This is all my defense, you son.
It's not a bad plan.
On the part-time job, I'm working like a slob, pumping gas, cleaning glass. When in walks the wheel, I'm in the middle of a deal, and she's a gas, real class. I said, you can't fire me. He said, oh, we'll see with a...
No, please don't.
Thank you for coming.
Our university studies are generously giving us credit for using about 10 to 15% of our mental capacity. Other studies have indicated that it's quite possible for a man to hold a job and support a family in today's economy without ever thinking at all.
Yeah.
We gotta do something else. We gotta go to work. We gotta mention this real strong. You heard about the fella that somebody asked him how long he'd been working for his company, and he said, ever since they threatened to fire me. You know, it's true that a lot of people quit looking for work as soon as they found a job.
Careful. You gotta watch your footing down here. I'd slow up for you, but we gotta catch up with the rest of them, otherwise they'll think something's wrong.
So?
What do you mean I'll lose my job?
Big deal.
Everybody's got to have a job.
Sure, everybody's got to have a job, so go ahead and do it. I wouldn't ask you to make any sacrifice.
Come on, little girl, be nice. I know it's my fault I got you messed up in this place, but you know, wound up here anyway, and I got to do what they tell me to do.
Sure.
Come on, we're just about near the big cavern. It's really something. You know, you've never seen nothing like it. Where do you see the monsters outside the Rat King's lab?
I can't wait.
Just a tiny bit further. Come on, you're gonna see something.
Tiger, what's that over there?
Where?
Ah, it's work! The crippler of mutant minds, the true scourge of the family unit, the brutal waster of souls, that daily living death which many of us in the church here face every day. Oh, and they dare to call it the work ethic. Hell, work forces you to live a lie just to get the job in the first place. Oh, you know the routine, seekers. You've done it before. Almost every subgenius has had to go undercover, sweaty-palmed and filled with dread, dressed like a member of Up With People to fill out an application packed with lies and convenient omissions, hoping that you've duped them into throwing you some subsistence-level monetary crumbs. You figure you can just take the money and run. Ha! Wake up and smell the self-delusion, bucko. And what a lush fool's paradise it is when you finally snag that hard-won job. When you make the grade, you'll find that every workplace is a razor wire maze full of mask-wearing, glad-handing, vicious robots and penny-ante backstabbing political intrigue. Suddenly, you're less than a number. Your life is metered out in time cards and paychecks. And when you get that money in your hand, it's almost as if you can't really feel that steel collar welded nice and tight around your neck, cutting off the flow of blood to your brain and shutting down your main reasoning cortex, making you a good worker. Day after day, the time clock ticks away, and your life rolls along right nice in the rut the conspiracy has dug for you. Ah. Oh, but no, look. They didn't have to dig it. They got you to dig it for yourself. Oh, I guess that's how they can sleep at night. Oh, you live out your days in servitude to the man, stumbling through the workday like a uniformed drone out of the hell film Metropolis. And when you finally die at your post, they'll give you a perfect attendance certificate with your name misspelled, and then stoke the furnaces of Moloch with your used-up corpse, and at a tidy profit for the company, too.
Well, she's got nothing on me, 'cause long before her time, I had a job in Tennessee. I turned the knob with just one hand, and I was satisfied. But then one day I looked up, and the foreman was by my side. Your right hand's kind of busy, gal. but your left hand's a-hanging free. Just put it on this here knob, that there's efficiency. Weren't so hard to do. But then one day the man said, why don't you kick this pedal too? So there I was a-turning and a-kicking with all my might. The superintendent came along and he said, this gal's all right. You got your motor running and your rhythm is right smart. But there's one foot you're not using. Use it here to push this part. My kin folks came to see me. They thought I was so good, so I just turned and kicked for them as fancy as I could. One day the big boss came along. He looked at me so queer. He said, I'll give you a bonus for one more movement, dear. Here comes the end of my story. It's sad, but don't you weep. They went and tied a broom on so I could turn and kick and sweep, sweep.
Work sucks.
Work sucks.
I hate work. Work really sucks.
Work sucks.
Work sucks.
Work is abysmal, appalling, and disgusting. It sucks.
Work just sucks.
Hey, coffee break's over. Back on your heads.
Go. I'm so sorry.
Oh, seekers. Oh, listen to that. That's the voice of the workers themselves. Oh, they're doing time in hell. Listen to their pathetic, heart-rending wails. And these were the few who had the hair to tell this raving, roving reporter the truth about the insidious job racket. Oh, yeah, and they told me the angle from the inside, too. The brave souls were few and far between. Most interview subjects looked around in alarm and shook their heads mutely, afraid to voice the truth under the watchful glare of the boss. And, oh, seekers, my heart bled a little for them. Oh, but I plugged my bleeding heart with a stuck pig strength tampon and slogged on, trying to bring some measure of sympathetic relief to the working masses. But my efforts were for naught. I couldn't break their chains, and I sure didn't have the moxie to derail this never-ending cycle of work. For as soon as you quit one job, you soon find yourself cravenly seeking another, and another, and another. And another.
In 1971, I was looking for a job, but I couldn't find one. I looked inside out and upside down, downtown, uptown, all around town. I couldn't find one. Oh, I've been out of work so long, I've forgotten what a job looked like. Well, after months and months of just hanging around, I finally found a job in Boston town. They had it hidden out in a museum place, all locked up in a glass case. It had a sign over it. It said, do not touch. This bird is extinct. Now, I get up in the morning, I put on my robe, and I go out and buy the Boston Globe. I opened her up to the old want ad, see what kind of jobs they had. Had plenty of jobs for bioelectronic zoological technicians. 12 years experience necessary. Now, when I wasn't job hunting, I was spending my time standing down on the unemployment line, trying to collect a couple of bucks to keep me and myself from starving to death. Used to have to stand around 4 hours, oh, trying to collect unemployment insurance. It's a full-time job. No, it's not just a few people down in their luck, because the more they lay off, the more they speed up, and the whole working class has got a stake in smashing the unemployment rate, that's for sure. One worker can get mighty tired trying to do the work of two. Well, I guess the one little thing that always pleased me about this here land of opportunity is they accept for the bosses who own the plans. Everybody's got a fighting chance to get laid off, oh, sped up, chance to die in a boss's war, and if you're black, you get a special break. Because there's a lot of youth unemployed and a lot of women also, but the highest unemployment they got in the ghetto, it's black and Latin workers are the first to be fired, and black and Latin workers are the last to be hired. I'd call that racism. And before there's going to be any kind of change in this country, racism's got to be dumped, stomped, crushed, I mean smashed. Well, now you might even call it the boss's tool, the way these rich divide and rule. They say blacks are lazy, this and that. Afraid white workers will unite with black. When that happens, oh, there's gonna be a mighty big explosion in this country. And it'll blow the bosses sky high. Well, now, it might have been then or it might have been later that somebody sold me a challenge newspaper. It's a communist paper and it costs a dime. Read it over a couple of times, it made sense. And believe you me, challenge is red all over. Now, the woman who sold me this paper said that every time workers get ahead, the bosses turn around and attack, which is why the bosses have got to be smashed once and for all. Goodbye, Richard Nixon, Francis Sargent, Ronald Reagan, Mayor Daley, Layoff Lindsay, Henry Ford, David Rockefeller, George McGovern, Gene McCarthy, Victor Reuther, Leonid Brezhnev, Cho En Lai. Hello, workers' power.
Casey Petrowski is living proof of how broadcasting can mold a man. But in spite of that, a lot of people still come to him to find out how they can get into the business. Not untalented, insecure, paranoid high school students using this as an excuse for personal gratification, but untalented, insecure, paranoid people of all ages. In fact, not too long ago, a very famous person gave Casey a call to get some advice concerning his impending unemployment. This person's inquiries and Casey's replies went a long way to prove the old saying, when some people have a screw loose, they usually try to find a nut.
WSAI, this is Casey Petrowski on your radio as you work our way towards 12 midnight tonight. Dirty Doug... Oh, excuse me, I got a call on a super secret hotline here. Excuse me. Hello, Casey Petrowski, one of America's 5,823 truly great nighttime disc jockeys.
Hello, Casey. How are things down there in Cincinnati?
Well, fine. By the way, who is this anyway?
It's not important. I'm just calling to see if you know of any job openings down there.
Why? Are you out of work?
Well, not yet, but it looks as if I may be needing a new gig soon.
Well, what kind of experience do you have, anyway?
Well, I've done a lot of work on radio and TV, speeches, reports, hilarious press conferences. I've done a lot of personal appearances, too. Not a whole lot in 68 and 72, but other than that, I've done a lot of work on tape, too.
Well, if I can find you a job, what kind of money do you want?
Well, I don't really want to make a move for Resto. I'm making $200,000 a year now, plus expenses. Do you think that's asking too much?
Well, I don't think so. It's just I hope you don't mind working for half of what Jim Scott is making.
Jim who?
Never mind. Look, if I hear of anything opening up soon, I'll give you a call. Like, I know where to reach you, but something may open up, you know, in a hurry, and I may need to reach you, so why don't you record one of your shows and send me a tape?
You want a tape?
Yeah, that's right.
You got a subpoena?
Well, no, I...
No way, man. God, first the Supreme Court and then Petrovsky. I don't understand.
Gee, what? That's amazing. David Fry calling
this
me
show
up
ain't no good.
Shoes and cut your hair.
Be a jerk.
Go away.
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 Do your job and do it right.
Nice and warm.
TV tonight.
Do you love it? Do you hate it? There it is, the way you made it. Why?
seekers. I feel your pain. Along with a few other things. And I understand the workplace all too intimately, seekers. Because in my time, I too have committed the ultimate act of gutter slut prostitution. Yes, I have had jobs. I've been marching in the same tragic lockstep as many of you sufferers, and it shames even me. Oh, the workaday world sure isn't like they told me it would be when I was a kid. I was totally misled. Oh, now there's not much call for cowboys and astronauts out there in the world, is there? So I had to set my sights lower to cafeteria kitchens and cotton mills, strip joints and corporate clone jobs. Oh, at least I've moved up to a slightly better level recently. But it's still a job, and as such is odious to me. Yes. Oh, yes, I have in my time had many jobs. But that doesn't make me a traitor to the cause of our glorious cult, because a conspiracy's got us all by the short hairs of necessity. Yes, even we of true Yeti stock bury our naturally bizarre personalities under layers of corporate-verted uniforms, and we wade bravely into the breach, where for 8 hours a day we act like our unselves. Oh, no. No, it's more like an actual negation of the self, the anti-self. If I had a drug habit that changed my personality as much as my last corporate job did, you can bet that my concerned friends would gang up and do an intervention on me. But when the root cause of your derangement is your job, oh, everyone clucks their tongues and shakes their heads and says, hey, well, tough rocks, that's life. Life? You call this living? Oh, not in my book, Buster. Oh, let's get some of the credits out of the way here. Well, we got a little breathing room. We started out with David Rose and Harlem Nocturne, Power to the Working Class from the Progressive Labor Party's Fight for Socialism album, Wild Sex in the Working Class by Oingo Boingo, Dr. Murray Banks' Psychomedy album, Garbage Man's Blues by Lee Belton, Working in the Coal Mine by Devo, Zappa and the Mothers of Invention would wind up working in a gas station, Earl Nightingale's Message to Management, Minimum Wage by the Bus Boys, Zig Ziglar from his motivational album Biscuits, Fleas, and Pump Handles, a bit from the wild, wild world of Batwoman, also known as She Was a Hippie Vampire, and Take the Money and Run by the Enoch Light and the Light Brigade, Efficiency by Dorothy Shea, the Park Avenue Hillbilly, It Only Laughs When I Hurt by Johnny Gunn, that wonderful Work Sucks montage, thanks to everyone that contributed to it. Whistle While You Work, Marty Gold, Wired for Sound, Talking Unemployment Blues, a Progressive Labor Party album, Casey Petrowski, some Cincinnati DJ, Zappa, Brown Shoes Don't Make It, and Devo, Mongoloid. This is the easy listening version. But hey, here's a word of advice, seekers. At all costs, try not to get too far into the belly of the beast. Learn to spot the traps, the camouflage treadmills of the conspiracy, and avoid getting sucked into the worst workplace of all, the high-stakes, high-stress corporate office job. Because it's not hard labor, it seems deceptively benign, but it can foul your mental spark plugs worse than sugar in your gas tank. The Shakespearean intrigues and jockeying for position will whittle you down to an unfeeling, stressed-out, zomboid lump in no time at all. Oh, and you'll find yourself trudging through the years, following some parsimonious carrot-on-a-stick promise of a too-small pension. Oh, take a look around at the office clones you encounter. Power ties are usually worn by the powerless. Not down that white collars only go with pink mentalities. Oh, that sickly fluorescent lit life without life frightens even me. Oh, yeah. I've got the fear of a pink planet, and I'm running scared, Seekers.
I'm a cog in a wheel in a lubricated world, and I want to marry an office girl. I've got my tie on. I set my watch, I set my goals. When I get old, I want to be fat. I've got my tie on. It's a string around my finger, it's a noose around my neck. I'll go to drastic lengths to prove I'm not a derelict. I've got my tie, so I'll be sure to hold my head up high. I can't forget why I got out of bed, even when in the morning paper's red. I've got
take my coffee break, my coffee break, my coffee break. If I can take my coffee break, something within me dies.
Something within me dies.
If I can't make 3 daily trips where shining shrine benignly drips and taste cardboard between my lips, something within me dies.
Right now, and something within me dies.
No coffee.
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 No coffee. No coffee.
That office light doesn't have to be fluorescent. I'll get no pains in the head. That office chair doesn't have to be foam rubber. So if I spread, so I spread. But only one chemical substance gets out the lead.
Like she said, if I can take my coffee break, my coffee break, my coffee break. If I can take my coffee break, God is the sense of enterprise.
Oh, God, and something within me dies.
No coffee,
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 no coffee.
If
I can take my coffee break,
somewhere I don't metabolize.
Coffee, coffee,
something within me.
Coffee or a wine. Coffee or a wine. Coffee or a wine. Something inside of me dies.
A fight ensues in the cheering grows.
That was the day Charlie came walking out of his office at the bank with a receipt spike stuck to the palm of each hand. He calmly locked the front door and told the guard to go home. He perched atop a teller's window and talked about tendons and how they are strings tied to the skeleton. He asked the silent audience if anyone knew who pulled those strings. No one answered. He left down from his perch and shouted, "Muscles, you fools!" He shouted something about running the money changers out of the temple and corralled the tellers and customers, some of which who had not yet made their deposits, alike into the vault by sheer force of fear, where they suffocated.
Now the fun begins.
In this mechanized age, are computers responsible for extra sexual behavior?
That's that daddy likes it.
Can a computer replace a beautiful, luscious, and sexy blonde like this?
Well, that about does it. It's been a long day. Tell you what we'll do. Let's stop for a drink and a bite to eat. Then I'll take you home.
Oh, that will be great, Mr. Alderson. I'll get my things and be ready in a minute.
See an innocent invitation turned into a passionate sex-filled love-in.
You sure advance quick at data rate.
How do the white color set have their love-ins?
What do you mean, keeper, for myself? Are you mad? What in the world would I do with a girl?
See Office Love-In and start to live. See an actual transvestite perform in a bedroom with his willing and artful partner, who has her own brand of talent. What is the appeal in this room that's a little different from the office? That turns a shrewd businessman into a playful little boy who likes to fondle his toys. Curiosity breeds interest, especially when it invades the privacy of a curvaceous brunette taking her daily shower. Sensuous parts of a woman, which can be aroused by the soothing, silken touch of another female's hands. See a lesbian seduce an unsuspecting secretary before your very own eyes. Surprisingly, the office cutie finds it not repulsive, but thoroughly enjoyable. Office have a love-in like this? What do you do for relaxation? If you're missing something in life, see Office Love-In White Color Trial. See how enjoyable your office could be. And it goes on, and on, and on.
I spoke at a real estate convention, and 2 days later, I was back in the same area, and I walked in this one particular office, and these two guys sitting in front just almost fell out of their chairs. And I said, "What's the matter with you guys?" One said, "You better not come in here." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well," said, "do you remember the rather heavy-set lady that was sitting on the front row yesterday?" I said, "With the black dress on?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You almost cost her and her husband their job." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, she listened to every word you said." Said she went home and she set that alarm clock, and then the next morning when it went off, she sat straight up in bed and she popped her hands. She said, "Oh boy, it's a good day to get up and go to work." She went in that shower and she turned that water on and she started singing. And when she came out of that shower, she was real happy. And she said her husband saw how good she felt, and neither one of them went to work that day.
They sure work hard, don't they, Bonnie?
Yeah.
I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
I would like to categorically state my conditions for employment. One, a reasonable estimate will be made, including a margin for error. Two, I will work at a pace that I believe is comfortable and appropriate to both ensure timely completion of the project without sacrificing quality. Three, the customers will be informed that the target completion date of the project is an estimate, taking into account the margin for error. Four, if it appears that work on the project is behind schedule, I am prepared to work up to 48 hours per week to ensure timely completion of the project. Five, if, even with the extra effort, the target completion date seems unreasonable or impossible to achieve, I will continue to put in additional hours to complete the task, and the customers will be informed that the schedule has slipped. There will be no panic or firefighting mode. Plan B, if all else fails, I will accrue an additional 1.5 hours of paid vacation for every hour worked over 40 hours in one calendar week, rounded to the nearest full day.
Ah, son, one day you're going to know the satisfaction of payday, receiving a big fat check for a job well done.
Gibson, Palmer, here you go.
Come on, son. Let's go catch this baby and get present for
him.
$13. Hey, wait a minute.
That's right. $120 gross. Plus Social Security, plus unemployment insurance, plus standard training, plus costume purchase,
wait a
plus
minute.
Food rental, plus Christmas
what?
Club.
What?
See you next year.
Hey, my ass! So Clementine and Clementine, look out!
Seekers, what a lovely night it's been. Oh, yeah, let me get the rest of the credits out here. Oh, we heard from Seven Dreams by Gordon Jenkins, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and that coffee break bit with Charles Nelson Reilly screaming for his caffeine. God, I know what you go through, Chucky. I love it, too. Ooh, and then Lymph Node with that bizarrety about the tellers in hell, the receipt spike stuck to his palms. And then Office Lovin', a fine quality motion picture from the raw and rugged 60s. Then Zoot's Rift and Mark Mylar with Conditions for Employment. Zig Ziglar and Workers Get Ready from the Progressive Labor Party's Fight for Socialism album. And this is Lights, Camera, Action with Whistle While You Work.
Hey, what gives? I'm not on the air.
Yeah, and you won't be because we're tired of these violations. Flues, you're fired.
See, this canceled all the way down the line.
You can't fire me.
Clean out your desk and don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Oh, everybody I slept with to get this job is dead.